landlaw.com. It's 6:30.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Medicaid expansion under President Obama's Affordable Care Act appears to be the major obstacle as New Hampshire lawmakers begin to draw up the state's next two-year budget. This week, so-called conference committees were appointed. These are teams of top House and Senate members whose job it will be to wade through all the disagreements between the two chambers and find compromise. And at this point, Medicaid could be classified as disagreement number one. The House and Governor Hassan want New Hampshire to sign on with expansion right now, which they say will bring the state enormous health and financial benefits. Republicans in the Senate see it differently. They believe there are too many uncertainties to such a major change and that the state should study all the impacts first. Beyond Medicaid and the budget, there are other key issues where cross-chamber discussions have started. Conference committees have been set for voter ID and medical marijuana bills. Meanwhile, outside the statehouse, a new political season is just beginning to churn with more speculation about which Republicans might challenge Democratic U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen and Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, and let's hear from you. What top stories from the week stand out the most for you? What questions and comments do you have about those stories, or more, what more do you want to know about these news items? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests in studio. Josh Rogers is here, NHPR senior political reporter. Josh, thanks for your time.
No problem, Laura.
Also with us, Gary Reno, Statehouse reporter for the Union Leader and New Hampshire Sunday News. And Gary, thank you for being here as well.
Good to be here, Laura.
And joining us for a couple minutes to wrap up some important healthcare stories is Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter. And Todd, thank you also.
Good morning, Laura.
Well, and Josh and Gary, just outline it for us if you could. Josh, you first, please. Where are we at in this big push toward the finish line to wrap up the legislative session for the year?
Well, the biggest conference committee, which will be on the budget, has its first meeting at 10 o'clock, and top budget writers from both chambers, bipartisan panels appointed by Speaker Norelli and Senate President Bragdon, meet for the first time at 10. As you pointed out, a big issue in the budget is Medicaid. There are also interchamber differences on taxes, revenue estimates, and some policies, but the gross dollars, the differences in the budget was $300 million, which isn't a mammoth sum given we're talking about $11 billion basically.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but I'd love to hear from you on this, Josh. There has been a lot of coverage of big differences, Democratic House, Republican Senate, but you're right. It's just $300 million, which in the context of the overall budget isn't that much.
Well, that's what we always say, but oftentimes the big sticking points are over very small things. Mm. And particularly in the negotiations, there'll be a lot of time fighting over small dollar amounts. And, in the scope of things, small dollar amounts are still attached to big, ideological differences and differences of opinion on what direction the state should be heading.
Gary.
Well, if you look at the numbers aren't very different. But what are some very significant differences in what they call a back of the budget? And we have like a $50 million back of the budget cut in the Senate budget for compensation and benefits.
Remind us what that means, back of the budget. It has sort of a dark undertone to it.
Well, they put it in the back of the budget, which says, and you may have been appropriated this amount of money, but from that amount of money, you've got to cut X amount of dollars.
You meaning state agency. So you guys have to decide.
Right. I mean, they always have done this with the judicial system where you get what you're supposed to get, but then you've got to cut it 10%. And the big one this year is a $50 million one, which is estimated to lead to about 700 layoffs if it goes through. That's another big sticking point. They have another one for the Health and Human Services. That's another big sticking point. So when the numbers may look the same, but the way you get there is very different between the House and the Senate in some instances.
Guys, it's been said that Medicaid is turning out to be a big sticking point in these discussions. And I want to hear from Todd on this, too. But to you first, Josh, the politics of this.
Well, it's anything attached to so-called Obamacare is charged between the parties. Democrats wanted to move forward. Republicans are cautious about getting on board with that. I mean, some of them are open about seeing this as still a potent electoral issue. But you look at it also depends on where you are in the totem pole. There are a lot of Republican governors out there in Ohio, in Arizona, in Florida that have said, you know, Medicaid and New Jersey, that Medicaid expansion is a good deal. But the way in which Medicaid works in those states also has some bearing on, you know, what sort of coverages are presently offered. But, you know, it's politically charged, and it's something that Governor Hassan has also made a priority. And Republicans say, you know, we can take our time, and, you know, we could be left holding the bag if the federal government reneges on its commitments. Democrats would counter that, you know, that hasn't been the case historically with Medicaid. So we'll see. That is definitely one of the major issues that, you know, remains to be resolved if it ends up being resolvable.
Mel and Todd, I want to bring you into at this point, and you've been following this pretty closely. Give us your best big picture on what's really at stake with this Medicaid expansion and the arguments you've been hearing from both sides, Todd.
Well, what we're hearing is that expansion would bring coverage to about 58,000 Granite Staters. It comes with a price tag to the state of $85 million through 2020, potentially bringing in $2.5 billion in funding to the state through just sort of more money spent on health care. So, but what Josh mentioned earlier is this is a key Republican argument that the federal government hasn't always lived up to its commitment to fully fund certain programs, and Republicans will point to special education as a prime example of that. Democrats counter, of course, though, that Medicaid has never not been fully funded, Medicare as well. So there's really arguments on both sides. I think we're going to see this continue to play out in the budget negotiations. One interesting thing is that Senate President Peter Bragdon has called for a New Hampshire solution to this issue, and it's not exactly clear what a New Hampshire solution would be. Of course, this issue of not having insurance affordable for all citizens is not just a New Hampshire problem. That's something we see across the country. We could see the study commission come towards something like what we're seeing in Arkansas, in Iowa. These two states are putting forward programs or possibilities that are very different than a traditional Medicaid expansion. They're trying to work with the federal government for alternatives, still using federal money, but not in growing the Medicaid program in a traditional sense. So we could see something like that come out of a study commission, but I think it's too early to tell.
Interesting. And as I said, both sides sort of pulled out their big talkers this week, and there were news conferences and people talking a lot about this. Just to give you a sense of what it was like, here's Jennifer Frizzell. She's with Planned Parenthood of Northern New England talking about Medicaid expansion. Her group supports Medicaid expansion.
So here we are again. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. Republican lawmakers playing politics with women's health. But this time, they're also playing politics with our tax dollars.
And so Gary Reno, as Todd said, and Josh said, it's not just a health issue. It's become very political, hasn't it?
It's become highly politicized, and you could say partisan, too. The Senate is really dug in its heels on this, and they're not going to – I mean, it's very hard to back out of the corner that they've kind of put themselves in. But it's ratcheted up every time it seems like we turn around. We had a letter come through yesterday that from the Center of Medicaid and Medicare Services that said you can opt out at any time, state, without any kind of problems. And that was an issue for the Republican senators. And now it seems to be, well, morally we can't put people on this health insurance program and then turn around 3 years later and kick them off. So it just seems to be keep moving down the line as we have one issue settled. It just keeps moving.
Let me invite our listeners again to join us. The number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. It's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. We'd love to hear from you this hour. What top stories from the week stand out the most for you? What questions or comments do you have about those stories? What more do you want to know? The exchange number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Todd Bookman, while we have you, just a little bit more on Medicaid, picking up on what Gary Reno said. Yes, I have this in front of me. The federal government is assuring New Hampshire officials the state won't be penalized if it expands Medicaid to cover an estimated 58,000 poor people and later decides to end the expanded services. This gets into what you talked about, Todd. Peter Bragdon, Senate president, saying maybe we could do it if there's a New Hampshire solution.
Right. And it's not – but it's just not clear what that solution would look like. Republicans have called for potentially block granting money to the state so that we can figure out sort of our own way to do it. The Medicaid situation in New Hampshire is just extremely complex. It combines with the reimbursement rates to hospitals, the implementation of managed care. I mean, the healthcare picture, it's sort of swirling in New Hampshire at the moment. This indecision over expansion adds to that. And so a lot of really just concern on both sides about what this is going to look like in the future.
Todd, if I could ask you real quickly about two more health-related stories that made news this week. There was some health news that was actually welcomed by many concerning psychiatric care at New Hampshire Hospital. Just remind us what happened, Todd.
Yeah, so on Monday we saw 12 new psychiatric beds open at the state hospital here in Concord. These were beds that had actually been mothballed due to budget cuts, 60 beds in total in the last few years. The new beds aren't enough to meet the demand that's out there, though. DHHS Commissioner Nick Tumpas called it just a partial solution. He and the governor are calling for a much greater investment, not only in psychiatric beds, but also in community-based care for mentally ill people. The psychiatric hospital, I think everybody would agree, should be a last resort for this care. So I think we're going to see some funding, I think, come out of the budget. House and Senate leaders are both in support of growing funding for the mentally ill system in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So we're going to see some benefits. But.
And then there was some news that almost kind of put a damper on this good news about more psychiatric beds.
Right. The day after this announcement of 12 new beds, we heard a sort of a tragic story from over the weekend in which it appears as though a man who had been released allegedly from the state hospital on Friday, after being there for less than 24 hours, may have committed a very tragic crime in a group home for mentally ill people in Laconia, strangling another gentleman. So, you know, mental health advocates would say this is just further proof that we need more resources for this system that is just strained beyond capacity.
Yeah, and Josh Rogers, when we talk about how the House and Senate aren't that far apart on many issues, mental health care is one of them, right? They pretty much agree, yeah, we need to do more here.
Yes, that was a point of shared, you know, shared priority by Governor Hassan, the House and Senate. That's a point that that they're stressing where there is agreement. You know, education is another point of agreement in this budget, mostly. I mean, funding at least of higher education. There's some differences between the House and Senate on charter schools, certainly, and school building aid. But mental health was certainly something that, you know, has broad support. And any budget that emerges is likely to do better than the one that's in effect right now.
All right. Well, coming up after a short break, we'll look at some of the issues surrounding voter ID, medical marijuana. We'll take your calls, too, at 1-800-892-6477. Todd Bookman, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
NHPR's health reporter Todd Bookman. We'll be back in a minute. We're going to check in real quickly now with our June membership drive.
You've been enjoying the Friday News Roundup, a new feature here on The Exchange. Why not help keep it going? Become a member today. Call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org. Hearing The Exchange is one of the reasons you value NHPR. Help us keep it going. You can do that online or call 1-888-805-6477. I'm Michael Brinley, newscast producer, reporter here at NHPR. I'm here with Virginia Prescott, host of Word of Mouth.
Well, hello, Michael. And this is the final day of the NHPR Short June Fund Drive. We'd like to keep it short. We have $25,000 to go in total for this fund drive to end the books in the black. It's your chance to contribute to programs like The Exchange that you enjoy on New Hampshire Public Radio by calling us now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. We're not asking you to pay the whole $25,000. We're breaking it down into some smaller hourly goals.
And to help reach that $25,000, our hourly goal this hour, $3,500. You can help right now, contribute, become a member. We have about 40 minutes left to reach that goal, and we can do that. What part of that plan can you help with? Maybe it's $5, $10, maybe $20 a month on the sustainer plan. The amount is up to you, whatever works for your budget. Please put a value on all your NHPR listening by giving now. Call 1-888-888. 805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
Okay, now we're at $3,400 for our hourly goal to help pay for the listening that you enjoy. But this is also a time for you to, you know, take a little chance. Until 1 o'clock today, you have a chance to enter the drawing for airfare and a five-night hotel stay for two in Lisbon, Portugal. A beautiful, still largely undiscovered European city that can be experienced relatively inexpensively. Well, it won't cost you anything for hotel accommodations or airfare if you win this drawing for two, but you only have until 1 o'clock to do it. So get your name entered into this drawing by calling us with a contribution, if you would, at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
This is a short membership drive at NHPR, just a couple days, and we want to make sure today is the last day. The goal, again, $3,400 this hour. You can help us reach that goal and make sure we have the money needed to pay for the NPR programs you value over the next few months. Your contribution will go a long way to pay for programs like The Exchange, like Word of Mouth. Please give now, 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
And to further entice you, for every new Leadership Circle gift, that's $1,000 or more, a group of Upper Valley donors is going to donate $500. So that means your Leadership Circle gift goes that much further today. $1,000 means $1,500 to help pay for the programming on NHPR. And this includes Barbara and Dick Couch and Tillman and Sylvia Gern-Gross. So thank you so much to those Upper Valley listeners who are supporting programs like The Exchange, who believe in the mission of New Hampshire Public Radio and get a lot out of this news service. We have $3,100 to go. Call us now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. A Leadership Circle gift is worth that much more. And of course, you get your name into the drawing for this trip for two for five nights in Portugal.
We are well on our way to the hourly goal, $3,100 left. Support your NHPR listening right now and you're entered in to win a five-night trip to Lisbon, Portugal. You have until 1 o'clock today to get into that drawing. This fabulous trip for two includes round-trip airfare on SATA Airlines and beautiful accommodations at Hotel Açores Lisboa in the center of Lisbon. It sounds like a great trip. You have a chance to get in on that until 1 o'clock today. All you have to do is call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
Beautiful European city, beautiful seafood, wines, a wonderful experience, but you'll miss out on that experience entirely if you're driving along and listening to All Things Considered today. You will have missed it just until 1 o'clock today. We've got $2,900 to go on our hourly goal. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call or at nhpr.org. Thank you for all of your support to NHPR.
This is NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from the NEEF Network Organizations, a statewide leader assisting students and parents planning for college. Information at nhheaf.org. And from Bedford Falls Assisted Living and Memory Community, warm and inviting, with services provided by caregivers who love what they do. To schedule tours, visit bedfordfallsassistedliving.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. We're looking at the top stories that Granite Staters were talking about this week, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, whether it's the budget battles and the Medicaid discussions that we talked about earlier, or in a couple minutes, we'll look at coming discussions on voter ID, medical marijuana. We'd like your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477. Our reporters are Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter, and Gary Reno, State House reporter for the Union Leader and New Hampshire Sunday News. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And guys, let's go to the phones now. And let's see, Reed is calling from Newbury. Hi, Reed, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure, welcome.
One of the topics I've been interested in and look forward to the press is taking a deeper dive, especially our friends at public radio, is the unfunded mandate for Medicaid that's buried in the federal subsidy program for health information technology. That program, as folks may know, is essentially requiring for physicians and hospitals to move to information technology. The trouble is the information technology has no meaningful certification as to effectiveness, and there's a growing set of concerns about unreported patient harms. And there was a series of articles in the national press last fall with regard to how in particular areas such as emergency departments, health IT seems to be driving up costs dramatically. And that, of course, is going to show up in the state's Medicaid costs as these systems get implemented and drive up costs.
Wow. So pretty specific concern. And I don't know, I have to say, Reid, if our reporters here have looked at that. But I'm just wondering more generally, Gary Reno. And Reid, I appreciate the call. One thing that I'm pulling out of Reid's call is concern that Republicans have expressed that, look, the federal government doesn't have a lot of cash to begin with. They say it's bankrupt, and that they doubt that the feds will come through on their Medicaid promises because of the tenuous situation of the federal budget. I'm sorry, I don't know if we can answer your specific question, Reid.
Well, I think he's getting to a very small part of a very minute, buried in the weeds, if you will, part of the Affordable Care Act concerning the movement to all electronic records, I think is where he was headed. There was a lot of federal money for that in the Affordable Care Act, as your question points out, that there are all kinds of things like that where there was a lot of money here and there. Supposedly, the way it was set up was there were savings in other areas that they're using to largely fund this instead of bringing in a whole lot of new money. But it always, you know, the devil is always in the details, and whether there is the money there, given all the federal deficits and debt down the road, that's still a question that's open to discussion.
That's a point that's been made a lot, Josh, hasn't it?
Certainly. And I mean, certainly to his topic more broadly within the state context, I mean, you look at the state's Medicaid managed information system, which has been one of the largest ongoing and, you know, apparently successful ultimately, but a boondoggle in terms of, you know, getting the state's computer systems up to speed to manage, Medicaid, Medicare information has been, I've sort of lost track of what the total ultimately was, but I mean, it's tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And, they did the switch over earlier and, you know, we haven't heard of any vast problems, but this is, a investment in technology to make government run more smoothly is often fraught, expensive, and leaves everyone feeling frustrated.
Yeah. All right. Well, Reid, we appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us. And let's go next to Joe in Bow. Hi, Joe. You're on the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
So my 3 points, and it does surround also the acceptance of the Medicare money.
Medicaid, Joe. Yep.
Medicaid. I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay.
for the Medicaid money, and first, I noticed that even Jan Brewer, who's about as ideologically as far to the right, fought her party to make sure her state got money that was already paid for through our federal tax dollars. And I think it's just a foolish move on our part because I got to say, my mother and her friends, who were not any big supporters of Obama, but they vehemently turned anti-Romney on his comments about the 47% because so many of the elderly in the state, you know, need a lift up here. But this is for the rest of our population. And when it comes to health care, we also they refuted to even bring up the tobacco tax a few cents on the dollar. Which would have helped people incredibly, you know, to ironically not take the money. And the third point, it just seems so classist to me. It's a really, I think the Republicans and it's too bad it has to become a Republican-Democrat thing because it's going to affect people across the board. But I think people are going to turn against them when they realize that it's really just against the poor in the state who need so much. Because, you know, people, you're out there plagiarizing right now. How much do of all the pledge money goes to paying for the Health Care for All Year report is there, and how much money do they make per year? It's a lot more than the average New Hampshire citizen, I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, health care is certainly a rising cost at all organizations. Hey, let's take Joe's 2 points, guys. And Josh, you mentioned earlier activity in other states and how it relates to New Hampshire. Joe talked about Jan Brewer, Republican governor of Arizona. Just remind us what's happening elsewhere and how that's being talked about in New Hampshire. I think people are sort of saying, hey, look at other states.
Well, I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that in general terms, one's attitude towards, you know, ideologically charged issues that involve receipt of federal money, you know, your position may change when you're the governor rather than a legislator. I think if we had a Republican governor, it might be harder. I mean, there are some states that are turning down this expansion. But a lot of these decisions, it also depends on the particularity surrounding a state's Medicaid program, benefits they already offer, and the implication of getting the federal government to potentially pay for something that the state is already paying for, which is the case in some of these states. But
I see.
But it's also true that, you know, you have governors who are nobody's definition of a liberal, John Kasich in Ohio, Jan Brewer, you know, some in the Republican Party consider Chris Christie not quite conservative enough, but certainly he's somebody who's a Republican who has supported acceptance of expanded Medicaid. So, you know, to Joe's broader point, though, the political fallout of this really remains to be seen. And while there are a lot of people who say going slow on Medicaid is going to hurt Republicans, we really won't know until the next election. And there are a lot of Republicans who think getting deeper into anything related to Obamacare is going to be politically bad for them. And, you know, Joe and others may be frustrated with how political this has become, but this is the world we live in. And, you know, the ballot box is the remedy in every direction.
You know, he also mentioned the cigarette tax. And let's just remind people, if we could please, Gary, what happened with that this year? Joe, thanks for the point.
Well, this year it's going to go up 10 cents automatically because 2 years ago they cut it 10 cents and they put in this provision that said if it doesn't come in as estimates, as expected, then it will automatically go up. So it hasn't been coming in. It's been way below projections. So it's going up 10 cents anyway. The House on the, put another 20 cents on that to raise $40 million over the 2 years. And the Senate had gone into the session saying we're no new taxes, no new fees. And they've killed off the tobacco tax.
All right. Joe, thanks for the call. Again, the number for you to join us on the Friday New Hampshire News Roundup with your thoughts, questions, comments about some of the top stories of the week, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Two more issues that are going to be discussed, guys, in these conference committees in the week ahead. Josh, one is voter ID. The other is medical marijuana. How far apart, let's take medical marijuana first, how far apart are the House and Senate on this?
Well, they are, the main difference is that the House's bill contained a provision to allow qualifying patients to grow their own marijuana. That's something that the House believes both will lower the cost to potential marijuana-using patients and also you know, speed their ability to receive the treatment that their doctor would prescribe for them. The Senate bill was took that out at the behest of Governor Hassan, who, you know, basically said, do this to the Senate. The Senate did.
She wants more controlled dispensaries.
To grow your own. And there was also removal of post-traumatic stress disorder from a qualifying condition. There may have been some other small tweaks, but those were the two big ones. And you know, the sense seems to be that if you want to avoid a veto, you may be going with the Senate version. And proponents of medical marijuana do want to get something passed. One big difference between Governor Hassan and Governor John Lynch is that her willingness to sign a medical marijuana bill. This is something that Governor Lynch vetoed twice, something that a medical marijuana bill passed when Democrats controlled the legislature, when Republicans controlled the legislature. Governor Lynch vetoed them twice. So, you know, there's certainly a need, a desire, you know, from staunch advocates to get this through. They'd prefer to have a homegrown option. They're going to continue to make that pitch for the time being. But, you know, we'll see where we end up.
Well, the other thing, too, is it both passed the House and the Senate passed it by veto-proof margins. So,
although their own versions.
Their own versions, but still it was by veto-proof margins. Yeah. So I think there's going to be a move to do something like sunset homegrown.
When the dispensaries get
I see. So that's a possible compromise. That's interesting.
Whether she goes along, the governor goes along with it or not is a question. But they're still all still talking about this right now.
Super quick, Gary, voter ID. New Hampshire's gone around and around on this. This is another bill that's going to have to be worked out.
It sure is. I mean, it's very big differences between a House and a Senate. Ironically, this what the House wants is what the Senate passed last year. But now the Senate says we want to keep some of the provisions that the House from the previous House put in the bill. So it's very confusing. But what they'd like to do is they'd like to – the Senate wants to make the number of IDs that are acceptable much smaller than what is allowed currently. And that's the big sticking point, essentially.
And then the one – and, you know, this is an interesting question. This is an interesting issue, too, because if you do nothing, what we'll end up with is the second phase of current law, which is, you know, tighter number of IDs and also picture taking at the polls for people who don't have IDs. And this, you know, leaves Senate Republicans with a very strong hand. They may not have wanted last year what, you know, maybe coming down the pike, but they're more comfortable with that eventuality than, you know, the House would be. And since they're undoing a law that's already on the books, Governor Hassan doesn't really have much of a role here, because if they were to pass something that she doesn't like and she vetoes it, we're back to current law, which is something that Democrats disfavor. So the Senate Republicans really are holding the cards on this one.
You know, gentlemen, I want to turn from state politics for a moment to national politics. U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, Republican of New Hampshire, this week made big news. Speaking on CBS, she came out in favor of the so-called Gang of Eight immigration reform bill. I want to hear what she said and then ask you guys why this caused such a stir.
With the 11 million bringing them out of the shadows, a tough but fair way for them to earn citizenship, go to the back of the line, pay taxes, pass a criminal background check, learn English.
Again, that's Kelly Ayotte speaking on CBS. When she mentions the 11 million, she means those estimated 11 million people here already illegally. Gary Reno, this made big news when Kelly Ayotte came in support of this.
It sure did. I mean, when she came out in supporting it, it essentially made it 60 votes in the Senate, which means that it can come out. It's not going to be filibustered. It's going to be voted on. There are going to be amendments, et cetera. If they didn't get the 60 votes, it's still hanging back there, and everybody's going to try to negotiate. So it's big news when it can be brought out now. The other one that's kind of interesting is she would be the first Republican outside of the Gang of Eight Republicans to jump on board on with this. So it's very big news, and she's very a big step for Kelly Ayotte.
Yeah, what do you think, Josh?
Well, it's interesting. And earlier this week, you know, there were a press conference involving several former Republican Party chairs coming out in support of this as well. And
Fergus Collins, Steve Dupree, a couple other people.
Yes. And so, you know, getting through the House, you know, is probably another matter in Washington. But it is interesting. I think it is an indication of at least the way the wind is blowing, you know, locally. And certainly, you know, based on the comments that would-be Republican presidential candidates have been making as they've been rolling through New Hampshire, both Bobby Jindal and Rand Paul, in favor of just a recognition that, you know, that some sort of movement on this is going to be important to the Republican brand moving forward if they want to win national elections.
All right. And, gentlemen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, a little bit more political news concerning the race for U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen's seat. She's running for re-election, obviously, but there's some murmurings about which Republicans might challenge her. Also some murmurings on the Republican side concerning the governor's race next year. So we'll talk about that and a couple more news items after a very short break. Checking in now, though, with our June membership drive.
Hearing the Friday News Roundup is one of the reasons that you value NHPR. So help us keep the exchange coming your way by giving to NHPR now during the June membership drive. You can do that online at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. Virginia Prescott here along with Michael Brinley.
We are in the final countdown here. We have $24,000 left to raise in this very short fund drive. $24,000 that helps support NPR programming here at NHPR. The programs you love, word of mouth, The Exchange, Fresh Air, all of the things you listen to, that money goes to help fund that. So why not do your part? Call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
Now, we started with a $100,000 goal, but we are down to $24,000 now, and we do that 1 hour at a time, one phone call at a time. Right now, we're working on an hourly goal. We'd like to make $2,300 to support the news you depend upon before 10 o'clock. So please call us now at 1-888-805-6477 or make a contribution online at nhpr.org. We're counting down, $2,300 to go and about 20 minutes to do it.
If you needed one more reason to contribute today, here it is. You contribute now. By 1 o'clock today, you are entered into a drawing for a 5-night trip to Lisbon, Portugal. This fabulous trip includes round-trip airfare, beautiful accommodations. You'll have plenty of time to explore the city and the surrounding towns and villages, take history tours, visit art galleries, experience the markets and the cuisine. Whatever you want to do, you're on the driver's seat there. All you have to do is call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
Now, this is a very short membership drive for money that we've already budgeted over the next few months to pay for programs that you hear on NHPR. So please join with others to help pay for The Exchange, a program so many of us depend upon to check in with what's going on in New Hampshire, especially during the Friday News Roundup. We begin the week with Josh Rogers on the political front and then wrap it up on The Exchange at the Friday News Roundtable, giving you a chance to call in and contribute and to ask questions of people who really keep their eye on this ball all week long. We're asking you to contribute now to make sure that programs like this keep coming your way. Call us at 1-888-805-6477 or make a contribution online at nhpr.org. $2,300 to go, and it's time to call.
Many listeners today calling today are choosing to support NHPR by giving $1,000 or more, and thank you for that. It's a great way to support the station, especially during this membership campaign. The money you give ensures that NHPR will always be here for you and for all of New Hampshire. And for every new Leadership Circle gift of $1,000 or more, a group of Upper Valley donors will donate $500. That means your Leadership Circle gift today is worth $1,500. Just a couple Leadership Circle donations in the next hour, and we meet our goal. All you have to do is call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
$2,300 now to go with 17 minutes left in this hour of The Exchange. If this is a program that you depend upon all week long, we're depending on you right now to help us pay for programs just like this. The Exchange is a locally produced program. There are stations all over the country that don't have anything like this, and it's the only statewide call-in show giving you a chance to share your opinion with other people in your community. 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org. What have we got? We're going to get a new total here. We are counting down, $2,100 now and 17 minutes to go. 1-888-805-6477. Help pay for the programs you depend on nhpr.org.
Just $2,100 left to raise this hour. We are well on our way to our hourly goal. You can help us get there. You're not the procrastinating type. That's not you. So don't put off giving until later today. It really just does take 2 minutes of your time. Please take those 2 minutes now and get it done with. Get it over with so you're not kicking yourself later in the day that you didn't do it, because it'll be too late. Then it will be hanging over you every time you hear us asking for money. So please, all you have to do, it's very easy. Call 1-888-805-6477. It'll only take a couple minutes of your time, or you can go online at nhpr.org. And we thank you so much for your help.
The Donnie and Reem Show and the Friday News Roundup coming up on NHPR, where we get support from UR members. And from Granite State Candy Shop in Concord in Manchester, makers of gourmet chocolates and fine confections for Father's Day since 1927, nhchocolates.com. And Nathan Wexler and Company, CPAs and business advisors, serving entrepreneurial clients who share a passion for competency, integrity, and community enrichment, offices in Concord and Lebanon.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, and we hope to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Join us with your questions and comments on some of the top stories of the week that we've been looking at, including Medicaid expansion, the budget, and we've been looking a little bit at next season's political horse races. The number 1-800-892-6477 Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. I want to turn for just a few moments to politics and happenings in the Queen City of Manchester. For more on that, Ted Seifer is with us, City Hall reporter for the New Hampshire Union Leader. Ted, great to have you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Well, just to let everybody know, there's a mayoral election in the Queen City this year. You guys have off-year elections. Mayor Ted Gatsis says he wants to run for another term. Why does Ted Gatsis say he wants to stay in the mayor's office?
Well, he seems to love the job. He says he still has a lot more work to do. When he's asked, you know, he says that's all he wants to do. But, you know, at the same time, he's not, the other thing he says is he's not ruling anything out.
Not ruling anything out. What does that mean, Ted?
You know, he has, that's about all he says on the subject. and so I guess, you know, that just leaves us to speculate.
Well, what's been his hallmark as mayor so far? He's been in office, what, 4 or 5 years now, Ted, right? What's he known for?
Yeah, he'll be running for his third term. You know, certainly he can, you know, he's obviously a very, he's a pro-business Republican. He's a practical, hands-on kind of guy. I think he could certainly point to an improving economy in the city. Economic development, certainly hallmark of his. And, you know, he also, as much as there's been struggles in the city schools, he also sees himself as a reformer, someone who's really tried to bring some new things to the city, to the district.
Who's running against Mayor Gatsis? Do we know yet, Ted?
Yeah, it's Patrick Arnold. He's a young alderman, sort of a study in contrast. He's more intellectual, but nonetheless passionate, sort of more of a nerdy guy, but very likable. It's a bold move for him. He's not exactly a known quantity around here.
You know, you mentioned the schools, and I have read, Ted, that education is going to be a big issue in this mayoral race. So let's look at some news surrounding Manchester schools. The city finally got a new superintendent, been looking for a while, gone through several candidates from what I understand. What took so long, Ted?
That's a good question. You know, it started out, you know, that back in the fall that this was going to be a big national search. They actually hired a headhunter and, they brought in three candidates, all from out of state, and I think it surprised a lot of people when the board ended up nixing all three of those candidates. And that sort of set the stage for some tense months. So over the past few months, there was a real question about who was going to lead the district. Finally, it was just last week that they selected a candidate, ended up being someone much closer to home, current superintendent of the Fall Mountain Regional District. But, you know, I think it probably speaks to the fact that it's not a secret around here that the school board is not always easy to work with. The mayor has his own strong feelings about education, and I think, you know, there's a lot of expectations to balance for that job.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that's the mayor often refers to the position as the most important hire in the city.
The superintendent.
That's right.
All right. Ted, thanks for the Manchester update. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Ted Seifer, City Hall reporter for the New Hampshire Union Leader and Sunday News. Again, the exchange number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Gary and Josh, I did want to get updates from you over a couple more political headlines. We talked earlier about New Hampshire U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte coming out in favor of immigration reform. And Gary, you talked about what a big deal that is. Josh, to you, U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen, a Democrat, is busily fundraising for her reelection. She's got one of her Democratic colleagues coming to Concord for a fundraiser this weekend. What are we hearing from the Republican side on this race?
Nothing terribly new. Former Senator John E. Sununu said that he wasn't going to run earlier in the spring. There was some expectation that, there would be, perhaps a procession of people expressing interest in the seat. A U.S. Senate seat tends to draw a crowd when there's an opening.
Only once every six years.
Certainly it was almost as if former Senator Sununu had a sort of right of first refusal on challenging Jeanne Shaheen. They obviously have traded the seat. Sununu beating Shaheen in 2002 and then she beating him in the rematch in 2008. We're hearing the same names over and over again. There's been Scott Brown's been out there floated as a name. Not much beyond that. Jeb Bradley, the state Senate majority leader, is said to be looking. I would expect we'll probably hear something from him clarifying what he's up to on this front after the legislative session wraps up, which is, historically the time when candidates really get out there is when when things cool down in Concord. That's when political season begins. There are other names that are out there. Frank Ginta has been mentioned, although I've heard a lot less about that lately. People always say, maybe there'll be some rich person who can self-fund their campaign, which would be a benefit given how expensive it is. But we don't really know.
Yeah. So usually after the legislature gets out in June, Jim Rubens. And we did talk about that earlier.
Former state senator, former gubernatorial candidate and anti-casino activist and
climate change activist as well.
And so he's sort of an interesting figure within the Republican Party. But if he were to get in, there would certainly I don't think anyone would imagine that he would be running unchallenged. But he's put his name in the ring as well.
Sure. And Gary, as we talk about Republicans making plans for next year, some more discussion of which Republicans might run against Maggie Hassan, although she's only been in office 6 months. That's the way it goes in New Hampshire. We're always in that election mode.
Yeah.
So what are some of the Republican names being thrown about there?
Well, obviously, Kevin Smith is always going to be out there for a while. He made a credible showing in the last election, although he lost the primary. But everybody's waiting for him to say one way or the other whether he's going to run again. Another person that's got some potential out there, a name that you hear quite a bit, is State Senator Andy Sanborn, who has been one of the people in the Senate leading the charge against just jumping into the Medicaid expansion. The other name that surfaced this last week is Representative George Lambert from Litchfield. And that raised a few eyebrows. But
is that?
Well, he was very much associated with Bill O'Brien when he was the House Speaker. And has introduced some very interesting bills over the 2 years.
Such as making the TSA pat-downs a sex offense. He's, libertarian minded. He once gave me a bag of shredded money, dollar bills, has been. I covered the Free State Porcupine Fest last year. He was up there and is, brings his own take to a lot of issues and certainly isn't out of central casting as a gubernatorial candidate and. So he would certainly bring something interesting to the race.
It would make it very entertaining, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of entertainment, what are you guys going to be following closely next week? Gary?
Well, next week we'll have a wall-to-wall committee of conferences going on because it's such a short window this year. They all have to be wrapped up by Thursday.
By Thursday.
And whether they do or not, whether they stop the clock and let it go a little bit, we'll see. But it's just wall-to-wall.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's going to be terribly entertaining, but I'm going to be on Gary's wavelength
sure.
next week.
All conference committee all the time. Yeah. Well, and I'll just close out, even though we're heading into summer, there was some good news from the winter. New Hampshire Ski NH says that New Hampshire ski resorts hosted more than 2.5 million skiers, snowboarders, and snow tubing visits last year, the biggest increase that they've seen in a while. Abundant natural snow, as we all remember. So one of the people there said, after a difficult ski season last year, this winter was what everyone was hoping for. So we'll end on some good news for New Hampshire's ski industry. I want to thank both of you very much for coming in. I sure appreciate it. Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome, Laura.
Josh Rogers, NHPR senior political reporter. Gary, always good to see you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gary Reno, State House reporter for the Union Leader. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Checking in now real quickly with our June membership drive.
NHPR is here for you every day to keep you informed, to introduce you to new ideas. And part of that is our new program, the Friday News Roundup on The Exchange. That is only made possible through listener support. I'm Michael Brindley, newscast producer and reporter here at NHPR, and as our three-day June membership fund drive. We're asking for your contribution now at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. I'm here with Virginia Prescott, host of Word of Mouth.
Michael, it's so funny to hear about snow. I mean, that seems so long ago. Just like, you know, the money that we spent last year for all of the coverage that we've brought you over the year, it is so long ago. It's disappeared. We have to move on to the next thing. Right now, what we're moving on to is a $24,000 goal for the supporting the news that you listen to on New Hampshire Public Radio during this short June fund drive. We're not asking you to write a check for that $24,000. We're asking you to pick out what works for you and call us now at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
You have 4 minutes left to contribute to The Exchange, the Friday News Roundup. It's the show you've been listening to, the show you enjoy, the show that wraps up your week for you. $1,600 left this hour. We can do this in the next 4 minutes. I think we can do this. These hourly goals are critical to help us stay on track to meet the overall goal for this membership drive. Please become a sustaining member by calling 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
$1,500 now left to go in the next 4 minutes. 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. And if you help us tick away at that total, your name will also be entered into this drawing for a trip to Lisbon, Portugal for 5 days. Just reading about what to do in Lisbon right now, there's been a kind of explosion of celebrity chef offerings, and the New York Times says you can get it at regular human prices. Museum entries there are relatively cheap. There's a whole reworked industrial area where a lot of like incubators and innovators' offices are. And of course, there is the waterfront and the beautiful seafood, beautiful wine, beautiful fado music. It could be yours. 5 days of that kind of bliss and exploration, but not unless you call us at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org to get your name into that drawing and help.
You're probably hoping the Bruins make short work of the Chicago Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Finals. Well, you can help us make short work of this June membership drive by calling right now. The goal this hour, $1,500. We have about 2 minutes left to make up that difference. You can help us do that. Help us pay the bill for NPR this summer so we can bring you Morning Edition and All Things Considered and the entertainment programs you love too. All you have to do is call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
And we don't go into triple overtime on this fundraiser. We are done when we are done. We've got $23,000 left to go. But right now, all you have to do is help us get into this hourly goal. 2 minutes left. Your last chance to contribute for The Exchange. Now, a $1,000 Leadership Circle gift would do it. If you've been considering that, this may be a great time to do it because a group of Upper Valley donors will donate an additional $500 for every Leadership Circle gift. That means that gift is worth $1,500 today. And we thank all of the listeners who've tried to spur that success, who've tried to bring other people forward to help support New Hampshire Public Radio. $1,500 left to go. A minute and a half. 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
We are winding down to the end of this fund drive. You can help us get there sooner. All you have to do is call. We have 23,000.